Are you one of the many people currently receiving injections in the eye to help limit the condition wet macular degeneration? Well, apparently drugs used to treat blindness-causing disorders could be successfully administered by eye drops rather than by unpleasant and expensive eye injections, according to new research led by UCL scientists. And that could be a breakthrough for the millions worldwide suffering from wet macular degeneration, or AMD, and other eye disorders. Lead author of the new research, Professor Francesca Cordero from UCL Institute of Ophthalmology, said, "The development of eye drops that can be safely and effectively used in patients would be a magic bullet, a huge breakthrough in the treatment of AMD and other debilitating eye disorders." Sounds exciting. Professor Cordero joins me now. Hello.
Hello there.
Now, tell us a bit, first of all, about what actually happens in the eye when a patient is suffering from wet age-related macular degeneration.
Well, why it's called wet is because you have bleeding blood vessels, which lead to a blockage of the light getting to the most important part of the retina, the macula. So these people invariably lose their central vision, and the treatment until fairly recently had been possibly laser treatment, but now the development of anti-vascular endothelial growth factor, or as people commonly know it as VEGF, and the drugs that are used are Lucentis and Avastin, these drugs actually stop the bleeding progressing and oftentimes increase the absorption of the blood that's there and actually gets rid of this vision loss.
What are the current limitations of the treatment then by injection?
The injections have been, and I'll start off by saying, revolutionised the ability to return vision to patients with wet AMD. The limitations are that most studies have shown that though the vision improves, quite often if you stop the treatment, the vision deteriorates again. So what that means is you need repeated injections into the eye of these anti-VEGF therapies to get sometimes a sustained result. Now that means that the patient needs treatment at least every 1 to 2 months. And as there are increasing number of patients then overall that need it, it's a real problem in terms of being able to provide them this frequency of injections. The other thing is that in addition to wet AMD, anti-VEGF treatments have been shown to be of benefit now to a number of other diseases. So things such as diabetes, people who have diabetic retinopathy, both proliferative and those with macular edema, appear to benefit from anti-VEGF injections, as also those patients who have vessel problems in terms of blockages, so what we call vascular occlusions. These patients also benefit from the anti-VEGF treatments. So the number of indications for using these injections is rising all the time, and with it the need to have lots of facilities and staff available to provide the injections. And obviously with our rather overburdened NHS service as it stands, this is a real problem.
And it's not a cure either, is it?
Yeah, it depends how you define cure. So if you mean that it's a one-only treatment, then no, it isn't a cure. But if you persist and give the regular therapy, then you do actually stop the disease progressing and often reverse the vision loss.
So tell us about your breakthrough then of the new treatment that you're proposing.
So the breakthrough is the ability, rather than giving the same drug by an injection into the eye, is putting it into an eye drop that allows it to reach the back of the eye so it can be as effective as when you give an injection into the eye. So the breakthrough really is allowing the anti-VEGF treatment to get into the back of the eye with an eye drop as opposed to an injection.
Now, it used to be believed that the molecules of these drugs were too big to do that. Has something changed in that way?
No, the molecules are exactly the same. We have got a eye drop delivery system that allows most things to pass through barriers. So the cornea, or the front surface of the eye, is a barrier, and we need it as a barrier, obviously, because we don't want unwanted substances to enter the eye. But it's such a sound barrier that it's very difficult for molecules of any size to enter into the inside of the eye. Mm. Our discovery is that we can get drugs through that barrier by using a protein that allows very large molecules even to pass through the cornea.
And once in the eye, then they can do their job without any further help?
Absolutely. Once in the eye, they behave just as the typical eye injection does. In other words, the eye itself is a self-enclosed system. So an eye injection works because the anti-VEGF treatment stays in the what's called the vitreous cavity for a long period. But in the same way, once you get with an eye drop the same stuff into the back of the eye, into the vitreous cavity, it remains in the vitreous cavity to do its work.
And how would you administer it? Would it be like two or three times a day?
Well, we're hoping that it will be once a day. So I should have started off by saying, actually, I'm a clinician. I'm a consultant glaucoma doctor at the Western Eye Hospital. And the thing with glaucoma is we have been well aware that patients don't like putting drops more frequently than twice a day. So our technology is really aiming to get at least one drop a day to achieve the therapeutic levels that eye injections do.
So presumably this would reduce the risk of infection because you're not actually having to inject into the eye.
Yes, so the injection, so over and above the problems that I've covered regarding the service commitment, you know, having doctors to do it in a clean room, in a clean environment, to try and obviate the sort of infection. There are also other complications such as bleeding. So giving an injection into the eye can in its own right cause bleeding. And also there is a risk of what we call a tear in the retina, which can lead to retinal detachment. So all of these, infection, hemorrhage, as also retinal tear and detachment, are all risks, not insignificant risks, that are associated with giving intraocular injections.
And cost-wise, how does it compare with injections?
It's a bit early to say. However, the idea behind this is everything that we have used in our eye drop technology has already in some way or other been used in clinical usage before. So there shouldn't really be a problem translating this quickly to the clinic. And that also means that the costs will be reduced. So eye drops tend not to be that expensive. However, the shelf life of eye drops is an issue, and that's something else that we're trying to sort out. So by the time we're ready for our first clinical trial, which hopefully will be soon, we'll have a whole wealth of data to give the confidence level of the fact that this will be an inexpensive way of delivering the treatment.
You say soon, we're talking a couple of years, do you think?
I would hope so. I would hope so. As I said, there's nothing foreign in what we've put together. Everything's been already tried and tested in the individual components wise.
I know I'm excited hearing about this. It must be exciting for you who's working on this.
Oh, it's very exciting, of course. And as a clinician, the most exciting thing, though, is when it reaches the patient. Mm. And I'm really looking forward to that.
Yeah, because I know of people who have the injections, and it's not the most pleasant of things. And again, of course, with the way the National Health Service is burdened, some people seem to lose out on that. So this sounds like a much easier way, and a way of everybody being able to get the treatment.
Absolutely. I mean, the problem with these increasing indications is often the treatment cannot be given immediately to those patients who really need it because of the waiting list. So these injection clinics are really becoming an issue with the larger waiting lists. And the nice thing about this is that you don't need anyone technical to administer. You're relying on self-administration, and the same therapy is being used, so the efficacy should be equal.
And hopefully earlier on in the diagnosis as well, so you would limit the damage as well?
Yeah, absolutely. Mm. So the more bleeding you get, for example, in wet AMD, the more difficult it is to return the vision back to what it originally was. So if you can actually administer the treatment much earlier, then you limit the amount of bleeding and increase the chances of improving the visual results.
Well, it's certainly exciting, and we watch this with interest. Professor Francesca Cordero, it's been fascinating chatting with you. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you very much.